Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Dare I say, it may have been like the best date I've ever been on in my entire life.
This one is honestly unlike any question we've ever had.
I feel like with the third date, there's less of the like pre-anxiety.
Are we going to hang out on Blackout Wednesday?
Second date, decided I like him now.
So now we'll watch it all unfold.
So what's part three?
Okay, I wasted no time. We're recording.
Oh my god. Hopefully my stomach doesn't keep
growling. I feel like the first thing the mic probably heard was Katie's stomach. Growl.
You guys, I don't know what's going on.
Katie's stomach is giving us a symphony orchestra this morning.
I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry. I stayed at a hotel this weekend, and I feel like my stomach always, like, my stomach knows that I'm not, like,
You're not home.
Yes. And things are different. Let's just say that. Let's just say my stomach, it revolts. My stomach goes, get me back.
I've never heard something quite like what your stomach is doing this morning. I'm not even kidding. Every 2 seconds, Katie's stomach is like.
What is it trying to tell us? Is the end of the world coming?
Hey, baby. It's trying to tell you a secret.
Before Thanksgiving.
That's why her stomach is so loud. It's full of secrets.
I was literally thinking that exact same line.
No, you weren't. Really?
I was, kind of.
Oh, my God.
I think I was. Colby and I went to this new coffee shop this morning. It's kind of close by you, and it's like,
it's really good.
So good.
What was it called?
It's called Kona.
Kona.
Kona Coffee Roasters.
There are so many different coffee shops in the city.
100%.
There's no way you could even try them all.
I've never even seen this place, Kona. Like, Colby and I were walking, and she's like, oh, this place is so good. And I was like, I've literally never once seen this place.
What kind of margins do coffee shops make? Like, are they...
They gotta be
huge.
Rolling in dough.
Coffee is such a cheap resource.
And I feel like the stores themselves, like, they're kind of smaller storefronts sometimes. Like, unless you have, like places for people to, like, work or whatever inside.
And coffee, people buy coffee year-round.
That's true. I'm out of beans. I gotta go.
Exactly.
Multiple times a day.
And you know what? The beans are kind of expensive. Like, when you buy, like, a big thing of beans, that's, like...
But I'm pretty sure them getting it from the actual farmer, like their cost of goods is pretty cheap. So I think that their margins are pretty high.
Talking business with Match Made first thing in the morning, you know.
You got me going.
I mean,
it gets me excited.
Well, I was just wondering how all these places can stay open when there's like so much competition.
Everybody needs coffee. And sometimes, like, obviously you have regulars, like people who like going to the same coffee places all the time. But then if somebody just sees a coffee shop, they're just going to pop in, you know. And you also collect crazy.
I've been ignoring it.
That one was angry.
You guys, I'm really hoping you're not hearing this. I don't know what's going on. I am drinking coffee, so maybe things are...
What did you eat that you think is doing this to you?
Well, I had a lot of very exotic things this weekend. I was doing this hotel stay for work.
I am so excited to hear what you're going to consider exotic.
Well, okay, exotic for me, because I eat very simple. You guys, I'm a beige food eater, okay? I eat beige foods. I was eating a lot of colorful foods this weekend. And the crazy thing is, the place where I stayed, the Pendry Natirar, that's what it's called in New Jersey, well, it was previously a mansion. There's a really cool history behind it. I, like, asked so many questions, but... They have this like amazing chef on property. Most of the produce and like the ingredients in their dishes come directly from their garden.
It's amazing.
Their farm.
Yeah.
I should
say. Farm to table.
Farm to table. And we got to take a tour of the farm, and they go, you can literally go over to these like beds over here and just pull whatever you want. I pulled out turnips. I have them. I'm going to use them.
You got to take them home?
I got to take them home. Turnips and like spices. But that being said, I was like, you know what? It'd be a shame not to like experiment and try things. So I was ordering things off of their menu that I've never had before.
What's an example?
And my stomach is doing things. A lot of vegetables I'd never heard of. I couldn't even tell you right now.
Interesting.
But yeah, that's probably what's doing this to me.
Is this a new hotel?
I believe it is new of like a couple of years ago. Mm. It felt like fresh. But the thing is, if you look back, I mean, I was doing a bit of research yesterday for this video that I'm doing for them. Mm-hmm. There are photos of it back like in the day and it looks exactly the same. Like they really haven't changed it. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it was like this wealthy person bought the land, created this mansion for themselves, then sold it to like some Moroccan businessman. Get this. A Moroccan businessman bought it because his son was going to Princeton, mm-hmm. and he wanted like a compound for all the family members to stay at, like whenever they visited the son at Princeton. So like once a year, twice a year.
Good for him.
And it's just empty the rest of the year.
I just love rich people so
much. Like, can you imagine? And guys, this is not a small, like it's a huge property. Like it was like 500 acres or something like back in the day.
Yeah. And this businessman was just like, my family's going to stay here when we visit my son once a year.
Like, can you imagine? Like, oh, we'll go up to the country estate. Like,
no, it's insane.
It's like what people do. I feel like when they, international students, like in cities, parents will just buy apartments.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're empty like most of the year. Yeah. That's what's interesting to me. It's like, it's just empty.
Well, they always say that about like the, because there are people, I don't know who people is, but in news articles I see in the Wall Street Journal, it's like nobody lives in all of these ultra high end luxury buildings. Like,
yeah.
What's the one that's it's like a rectangle. It's on Billionaire's Row and it's white.
The one that's like waving in the wind.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one that's about to go down.
Yeah, yeah. It's literally like basically about to go down. But so many famous people own apartments there, and a lot of wealthy foreign people bought apartments there as an investment. Mm. Because what they'll do is like people in China and other wealthy countries will buy real estate in these buildings to kind of like hedge their money, essentially.
Yeah.
Because it'll have their money off seas. So let's say like something happens to their wealth in
another
China
country.
Then they have like hedges in all these other countries that obviously have different economies in different
walls.
Why is
it called a hedge? Hedge fund. Why is it called a hedge? Why?
I mean, you're like hedging your bets. So it's so the reason would be like whatever, like why somebody named the word hedge.
Wow. You know? Well, because when I think hedge, I think a bush.
So. I think a hedge fund.
And that's the difference between you and I, Adam Harrison. But yeah, I thought that was crazy. So that's where we were staying this weekend.
Okay, so fine. Because I only know of the Pendry in Manhattan West.
Yes, they have a Pendry. They have a bunch of Pendrys.
Oh, really?
Yes. But this one was especially cool. And I felt completely like surrounded by swankiness when I was there.
Were there a lot of people there?
There were a lot of people there. We were definitely like, I'd say kind of skewing younger for like the whole, like the population.
Was it actually people staying on the property or were it like locals that just come to hang out?
Both. So this place is ranked number one best date spot in New Jersey or something. Oh. So a lot of people were like there on date night. It was very cute.
Wait, so fun.
Yeah. So I loved it. It was great. But more to come on that. I'm posting some stuff.
Right. I'm making you give all your secrets to the pod.
But the history of it was really interesting. And yes, so I experimented a lot with food, hence the stomach noises.
I see the stomach symphony
that's happening.
What was the exotic vegetables.
What was the most exciting thing that you tried?
Okay, Colby, this is really hard for me to answer.
Katie's gonna be like, I tried a bell asparagus.
No, I there was this really interesting beet dish.
Okay.
That had like the only thing that I recognized in the dish was beet, so that's why I'm calling it a beet dish. But there was a lot of other stuff in there,
like ratatouille.
I don't even know what
like
ratatouille
a beet
is.
Salad.
I am the least interesting eater you've ever met.
Have you never seen the movie Ratatouille with Remy?
Yes, but you know ratatouille is also a food.
I know, but like they make ratatouille in the movie.
Oh,
the whole
they?
Movie is about ratatouille.
I haven't really brushed up on.
I haven't on that movie. Can't picture the ratatouille in there. I can only
picture It's the most stunning
Remy.
Dish ever. They just chop up like a bunch squash. Of vegetables. Yeah, it's like squashes.
Eggplant.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait,
yeah,
I think I actually did have that.
It's sliced very thin.
It's a bunch of root vegetables. So I think beets are sometimes.
Wait, I think
actually, no, I don't think beets are in ratatouille, but.
I think I had that.
It's like a bunch of like what Kobe said, yeah. Eggplant and peppers, and it's really yummy.
Why? I think I brought this up before, but why was like all of our entertainment when we were younger like stressful? Like that movie was stressful.
That movie was stressful.
And like it was scary. Like the food critic was a really scary guy in that movie. Do you remember what he looked like? Very scary.
Yeah. Wow. Short mustache.
Honestly, yeah. My affiliation, what comes to mind when I think of Ratatouille these days is the TikTok musical from COVID. Not even the movie anymore.
Wait, what TikTok musical?
I didn't catch that one.
Oh, there was a TikTok musical of Ratatouille during COVID.
Oh, I've never seen this.
And like lay people acted?
Yeah, like a dance to it?
Like, I didn't watch it. You had to like tune in somehow. I didn't actually watch it, but the song is ingrained in my head.
Okay, start singing it.
No.
Well, how am I to know what it is if you're not going to sing it for us?
You can. I'll send it to you.
Okay, fine.
On TikTok.
Fine. I'm intrigued.
I
am intrigued as well. Should we do the intro?
Sure.
Before we forget. Welcome back to another episode of Match Made in Manhattan with Katie, Colby, and Adam. Girls, how we doing?
Pretty darn good. Last episode before the big Thanksgiving.
Before the holidays.
The holidays.
Also the first day where it's like truly freezing outside. Colby and I walked out of our apartment and I thought we were going to die.
Yeah.
Brisk.
I haven't been out there yet.
But like over the weekend, it was perfect. You honestly missed kind of like a perfect weather weekend.
I was experiencing the perfect weather.
No.
At the Pendry.
No, New Jersey's different.
It's really not that different.
It feels different over there.
It was gorgeous over there.
No, it was gorgeouser here.
Okay, gorgeouser.
It was gorgeouser here. All
right, Mr. Fake Word. Tell me about the weekend. How was... Colby was in Boston. We were scattered.
Actually, yeah, Colby wasn't here either.
Yeah. Totally we were in three gone. Different states this weekend as a group.
New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts.
Yep. So let's recount the weekend, shall we?
The weekend was great. I can give the people an update on my little Minetta Tavern experience.
I'm so curious about what ended up happening with the Johns.
Guys, I am obsessed with Minetta Tavern, first of all. Dare I say, it may have been like the best date I've ever been on in my entire life.
Had you ever been before?
I've been to Minetta Tavern before years ago. And it's a vibe. It's just so old school New York.
Like, I feel like this time of year, too, it's like dark and cozy.
Yeah. And it's like a hot place. I mean, if you go down on McDougal Street where it is, like there's millions of people that are standing outside trying to get a reservation. And if you go in, it's like a zoo because it's so small. Like all of those places on McDougal Street are like miniature, basically. Yeah. They're like little dollhouses.
They are.
But there's so many people that they stuff into these places. And so Minetta Tavern is the front room, which is where the bar is and kind of like the shitty tables. And then they have the back room, which is very like old school New York, and there's pictures all over the wall that are hand drawn by like famous artists of people, and it's just like it's vibe. And we go in and they like other John tells them who the reservation is under, because it's not under our name, it's under like this other guy's name.
Could you recount, so is this the John you went to Hillstone with or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're only talking about him.
Yeah, we're only talking
the
about
other
him.
John is irrelevant.
Yeah, the other John is relevant.
Is irrelevant.
Yeah, irrelevant.
I got it. I'm following. Continue.
So John tells him what the reservation's name is under, but doesn't know his last name. And so he says the first name, which I don't know. Let's just say, I don't even know what I'll say the first name is. First name's Katie, for example. And they're like, okay, Katie, what's your last name? And then John is like, fuck. And then he mumbles something. And then she's like, oh, okay, yeah, perfect. Because remember, this other guy booked it for us. That like, John had met the owner of Minetta Tavern, or at least that's what I thought had happened. He met his best friend is what it turned out to be.
Okay.
And so the best friend is this gay guy who, I don't know why I reference that. Why does he have to be gay? He's a gay man, by the way.
You said it.
I love describing people as gay. And so the reservation was basically under his name, long story short. And so we go up and we only know his first name. We don't know this guy's last name. And so
okay, I'm following now.
John
sorry.
Says, oh, this guy's name. And then she's like, okay, what's your last name? And then he's like, I don't know what this guy's last name is. And I don't know if like,
yeah,
in the moment then we were like, oh fuck, like are they supposed to think that we're him or something like that? But like, obviously,
right.
No, because like they know who he is.
Right.
it ended up being fine, and they walked us to the table, and they literally gave us like the VIP table for the night. So if you go into Minetta Tavern and you go into the back room, there's a ton of tables, but the best table in the house is right to the right of the door, because it's a booth in the corner, and so you can sit right next to somebody. So if it's like a circular table, it's like me sitting here and then him sitting right next to me in the circular booth. So it's very like romantic, and you're kind of like very close to each other, and then you're also looking at the entire rest of the restaurant. If that makes sense.
Yeah, the best seat in the house is when you can see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have the vantage point of the entire restaurant, essentially, and you can see like everything going on, like all the celebrities coming in, and you can tell they're celebrities. And I mean, I can't name a single person, obviously, but like you can come tell when these people are walking through
that they're someone like, important. That they're someone. Oh, I love it.
And it was so fun. We were there for 5 hours.
Not really.
I'm not even kidding.
Seriously?
We were there for 5 hours. Yeah. We were there. 8:30 p.m. was our reservation.
What day of the week was this?
1:30 Friday.
Wow, they didn't kick you off your table. That's amazing.
They kept us at the table the entire time, and they kept coming over, and they were like, "You're VIPs," like blah blah blah. Like we literally every wait staff or person at the restaurant came up and introduced themselves to us.
Wait, wow,
it was just amazing. Like such like a New York experience.
Oh, I love that.
And the maitre d', it's this girl named, I think her name is Victoria. So the thing at Minetta Tavern is if you get the card at the end, then you're basically in.
The card.
So there's like a specific card and it has a phone number on it. And if you get the card, then you're kind of like in for life, basically.
Like a business card.
It's like a business card,
basically. It's like their reservation line.
It's like a direct to the maitre d'. And she is also the maitre d' for like Balthazar and Carbone and literally all of the major food groups restaurants. And so her name is Victoria, and she was hanging out with us the entire night. And she's also a photographer. And she would come over and sit down with us and like start chatting us up, and we'd be yapping, and it was just like really fun. And then at the end, she gave us the card. And then we texted her the next day in a group chat, and she was like, "You both made the night. We love you."
So did you get one card for the two of you?
Yeah.
And if so, who kept the card?
He kept the card. But we're in a group chat with her, so it's like,
that's not a good date. He should have given you the card.
No, this was his work, so he gets to keep the card.
Okay, you're just a plus one. That's
fine. I'm just a plus one.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You get to reap the benefits.
I'll just be along for the ride. But anyways, it was literally so much fun. Like, such like a New York experience.
Okay, so what about him? Like, you're talking a lot about the experience of being there, but what about the guy?
Well, obviously, if I'm saying the experience is good, then he is good as well. Yeah.
No, obviously. Like, no,
I loved him at a tavern. I hated John.
No, you could have very well have gone there. That could have very well been the next thing out of your mouth.
No. John was great.
Okay.
John,
I want to hear more about that.
Is a great character. I don't even know what there is to say about John. Like, we just have so much in common and so much to talk about. Like, he's basically like in my field of work, and obviously we know I love talking about work, so
right,
we have so much to talk about at Minetta Front. He just moved to the city and he's like done everything under the sun already, so we have so much to talk about in that regard, just like city stuff.
Love.
He loves restaurants and bars and non-essential businesses. I also love bars, restaurants, and non-essential businesses, so that's perfect. And then we have the mutuals. Like, I think I told you that our friend's boyfriend like goes to the same gym as him.
Yes, you did say that.
Yeah.
So lots of things to gab about.
Exactly. Lots of things to gab about.
Do you think he's cute?
Yeah, he's a cutie.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank God.
But this is my problem, is that once I like, I'm always like, like, I don't know how I feel about this person, blah, blah, blah. And then the second I start liking them is when everything goes downhill. So unfortunately, this is like,
we've
given him every kiss of death so far. Hillstone was the first date. Second date, decided I like him now.
So now we'll watch it all unfold.
So what's part three?
So part three is when everything just starts going down.
No, part three is when it all starts going right.
Yeah, we got to manifest it into existence.
So exciting.
I'm trying to think if anything else funny happened at the state.
Did you kiss?
Yeah, I was hammered. We were making out at the booth. And every time Victoria would come over and hang out with us, she'd be like, "Oh my God. Like, close my eyes."
Wait, that's great. I love it.
Doing this whole scene.
Smooching at Minetta.
Yeah, great date. No notes. Well, actually, plenty of notes.
Well, yeah, great notes, though. When are you going to see him again? Have you been talking? Like,
yeah, we've been chit-chatting a little bit.
Because now we're entering like the Thanksgiving of it all. It's like, this is the time when it's hard to like make plans, I feel like.
He's randomly, like, his family lives kind of close to us.
In Maryland?
Yeah.
Wait, that's nice.
Shut the fuck.
I didn't realize that.
He's from California, but his parents like bought a place outside of D.C. because his sister was in D.C. and then he was also in D.C. So they bought a place in D.C. to be close to them. And then he obviously moved to New York. So, but currently at present, his parents like have a place that they live at full time.
And he's going to go there for Thanksgiving?
I think so.
Are we going to hang out on Blackout Wednesday?
Maybe. That'd be crazy.
Blackout Wednesday.
Do people still call it that?
I don't know.
Actually, I mean, they do, because my sister's literally texted me the other day and we're like, Adam, can you come to Blackout Wednesday with us?
You know who put that
where
in my head?
Where are they going?
My sister. So I think it's that age group still.
That's the thing.
I mean, I have not blacked out on Blackout Wednesday in like 8 years. Maybe more than that.
Same. Wait, should we make a reservation at Aqua?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
We have to.
Table for four. You and John and me and Jack.
Us and other John. Other perhaps. John. I don't know, but I need to chill out and tell everybody we've gone on two dates.
Are you already like thinking of your future of how easy it'll be to go to like two Christmases because his family lives so close to yours?
No, I haven't thought about that for a second.
Because that's where my head goes. I remember when I was first dating Jack, I was like, well, this is inconvenient. We're going to have to fight over Christmas because his family lives in England.
No, I have not thought about that for a second. But what I have been like convincing him on the side is that he's going through this whole recruiting process right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like desperate for him to join this one company that I'm obsessed with.
Okay. So not your company. I thought you were going to say your company. I'm like, Adam.
No, it's not my company.
Relax.
But he's like, so basically every day this week, he's being courted essentially by all these companies, like who take all the people that are in his position out to like really fancy dinner and drink scenarios to try to recruit them to join the company.
Okay. Buttering them up.
And he has this one specific one tomorrow where I know a lot of the people who are important at this company. And so I was like, wait, you need to go to this company. I'm obsessed with them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So that's what I'm doing on the side after our second date is trying to control his entire future.
Well, you have a lot to talk about.
You're advising
him. I'm advising.
At least you have a lot to talk about and you're not like running out of things because you guys are so similar. Yeah.
100%.
So that's nice.
And the first day was like that too. I mean, when we were at Hillstone, we were gabbing for like hours, basically.
Yeah, it shouldn't feel difficult. It should be easy to come up with things to talk about.
This is actually the one thing that happened in Manitoba Tavern that I'm just remembering. We obviously were there for 5 hours, so I was pretty drunk. And I got some notification like literally 30 minutes before midnight that I forgot to fill out my benefits for 2026.
Oh my God. I got open enrollment ended. I know. Yeah. The same thing happened to me on Friday. And I was like, I don't even know like what the other health insurance options are, but I guess I'm not changing anything.
That's so funny. Mine starts today for small business. My open enrollment begins today.
No, ours literally ended Friday night, and I forgot. And so I get a message from my head of people being like, "Hey, you haven't filled out your benefits for 2026. Like, if you don't fill this out, you're not going to benefits."
So you're doing this at Mineta Tavern, and so filling out your benefits form.
Mind you, he's literally in the bathroom while this is happening, and I'm like, "Fuck, I don't even know what any of this means." Yeah. Because like, I mean, they need to figure out a better way to fill out benefits forms because I have no idea what any of these plans mean.
They also need to find a better way to explain what health insurance covers and what it doesn't.
Completely agree. Like I'm looking at these options and I'm like, first of all, obviously I'm drunk and I'm like, I can't even read right, left from right. Like, I don't even know what any of this says. And so then he helped me with my benefits forms. And so that's what we were doing in the corner of Mineta Tavern.
That's cute. Yeah,
not on a date. We were doing my benefits forms.
Men like to feel needed. I'm sure he liked that.
I was like, I don't know what this means.
You're so smart. He needs you to help me.
Do it for me.
Literally, here, do it for me.
Yeah.
And the next morning, he brought it up, and he was like, "It was like I had no idea what I was telling you to do." Like those
benefits. You better check
and
make sure you did that right.
Well, it doesn't matter anymore.
You're locked in. Damn it! You'll better luck next year.
He was like, "I'm not gonna lie, I had no idea what I was advising you on." I was like, "Perfect, good, 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 good." So, anyways, that was my Friday.
How exciting. Okay. I like this development. He seems like very even keeled with you. Like very like.
Yeah. He's a good apple.
You guys
good
are match. Like a good match. That's a good way to say.
Yeah.
But like we've literally only been on two dates. So.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to start with two dates and then it snowballs from there.
True.
If you make it past the second date, that is a positive sign.
Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, like randomly in a conversation, they were like, "Oh, what's your first number of date?"
What?
Like, what's your favorite number of date?
You said first number of date.
I did say first, then I realized after, and I was like, wait,
you
what
glitched.
Did I say?
Your favorite I number? Like
your favorite number of date. I said three, because after one and two, and then I feel like it's more like you're just hanging out and like catching up on like random things that are going on in your life instead of like
That's a good answer.
Your pasta instead of interview. The sparring,
yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite is 275.
Is that where you're at?
I'm kidding. No. I mean, it feels like that.
You might be,
you're
honestly.
Probably at more than that.
No. Well,
well, I guess it depends on what you define.
365 days in a year.
Yeah, but we don't go on a date every year, every day.
Yeah, but you go on a date every week, you said. Yeah,
that is true. So 52 a year. Well, probably more than that.
Yeah. So you're at least 104.
Yeah.
But date, in the grand scheme, like date number three is, in my opinion, also the best because at that point, it's still like you're still fresh, but like you feel like you've gotten over the hump.
Yeah.
In a way.
It's not awkward anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, if you've gone on two dates and you're still going on a third, then you've like kind of decided that you like each other.
Yeah. Yeah. You've seen enough by date three to know that you're like interested in seeing things go further.
Right.
And also, I feel like date three is a lot of the times when people are like, let's fuck.
It's a
Katie. I'm just saying what everyone's thinking.
I feel like with the third date, there's less of the like pre-anxiety because first date, you like get the nerves, whatever. Yeah. Making sure that you're like saying hi to the right person, whatever. Second date is like still kind of nervous because you had one conversation with someone. Mm-hmm. And then by the third one, you're just like, okay, I like this person. Like, I'm excited to see them more so than, like, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, which is definitely how I normally am on one and two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one, I was also like, I don't even know who I'm going on a date with.
Right.
The whole wrong John scenario.
Right. Yeah, that was crazy.
I was like, wait, who is this? Just kidding, not actually.
That's a funny story, though. Oh. I like it. I like those.
Your
like
new
funny
shoes.
What's going on?
Adam, put your slippers on.
They actually fit me perfectly. Like,
aren't they fabulous?
Yeah, they're
so
comfortable.
They're a little big on me, so.
Well, oh, perfect. I guess I could take them home then.
I need new slippers. Those ones are kind of gross.
Oh, good. Perfect. This gets better by the second for me.
You can have them. Well, if you want to get me a present.
Oh, well, I was thinking it. I didn't want you to say it.
Are we not doing Secret Santa this year? Do we even do one last year?
We're talking about that.
We have such
problems. It's not too late.
We have planning problems.
We do.
There's just so many. We're so lucky to have so many of us in the city.
To be honest, college. I would way rather spend the money on doing something than having somebody buy me something that I tell them to buy me.
Yeah, that's
like
fair.
I don't need my friends to buy me a hat and scarf.
Well, Brooke, Danielle, and Margot and I, we do our Secret Santa every year. We're doing one again this year. And we have a rule this year, no lists.
Oh,
no lists.
Good.
We should do that.
Because it's like way more fun to like surprise someone and to be surprised as well, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like when you get to know someone so well, you won't get them a crap gift. It's like, you know, you're going to get them unless they already have it for some reason. That's the only fear. But I love the no lists.
Yeah.
Secret Santas. Well, we should just go to a nice dinner.
Do like a nice dinner and like actually just like spend time together.
Yeah.
And have an experience.
That sounds nice to me.
I like that idea.
Cool. We told people we're hosting this Thursday, so we need to follow through.
I'm available.
Adam and Colby are having their very first big shebang.
Huge.
Big shebang with our five friends.
Hey, that's decently big.
That's a lot.
At our age, it's pretty big.
Yeah. I hosted last week.
He did.
Did I say it twice? I cooked for two people.
He did.
Colby didn't want my soup, so it would have been three people, but...
Well, hey, no, I did not want your soup. I told you I wasn't having it.
You're right. So you didn't want my soup.
So what you're saying is...
I didn't have him factor me into his plan.
Okay.
Because I wasn't sure what my plans were, so...
It wasn't about the soup.
I got this bowl instead.
Yes.
Which is so good.
Well, actually, you want to know a kind of funny story that I realized when... the two people that I was hosting came over, is that earlier in the week, Colby had basically told me about this plan that she had, which was to go to Bath House and then cook dinner at our apartment. For some reason in my head, the plan was go to Bath House.
I invited Adam. Yeah, I was like, if you want to come, this is the plan. And he's like, I don't know if that's like my thing, but I'll join you to cook dinner for the cooking dinner after portion.
I was like, I'm not going to Bath House because to me,
why not?
That's a little gross to
That's
me.
What I said.
In my opinion, it's a little gross.
Okay.
I've never been, though. So it could be like the cleanest, most amazing place in the entire world. And I'm sure it is, like given what the thing is, like the premise of it is.
I have seen some TikToks saying otherwise. Maybe they fixed it, though.
See, that's my thing. Like, I'm just not interested.
I don't freak you out, but
in going to a place where like a million people just shuffle through like the pools and stuff. Like, I barely even go into like. I don't even go. I into just the want sauna.
A sauna. Yeah.
I like barely even go into the sauna and steam room at the gym.
Oh, you know? I wish my gym had a sauna.
We were actually going to go to Othership. I wasn't going to correct you, but that was what I wanted to do.
And Othership, I love. Yeah. I'm saying bathhouse as an institution. I've heard some negative feedback about the cleanliness of their.
Got it.
Yeah.
Facilities, but Othership, I've been to. So many times, and it's fabulous and very clean.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Very
clean. So, I think clean. Maybe in my head, I don't even think I knew what Othership was. I mean, I know of it, but I think in my head, I was thinking bathhouse. It's a sauna
and cold plunge.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's not like bathhouse, like entirely with like the pools and stuff. Do they have, is that what they have at bathhouse? The pools?
I have no idea. Okay. I know somebody who just got a fabulous massage at bathhouse, and I really want to get one now.
Anyways, this is basically what happened. Chloe was planning on going to Othership. Apparently Othership, I think in my head I thought it was bathhouse, and then afterwards cooked dinner at our apartment.
Adam didn't hear the plan.
Clearly I didn't hear the plan correctly.
Adam is selective listening. Yeah.
Because in my head I thought what the plan was going to bathhouse, one, which I didn't want to do, and then two, going to dinner after, which I actually did want to do. But then basically two people that I hadn't seen in a while were like, oh, do you want to have dinner on Thursday or something like that, and I was like, ah, okay, like Colby's going to dinner with one of her friends anyway, and like this Othership thing, so I'll just text Colby and tell her that I'll just host at the apartment and say, oh, if you end up not doing this plan, like I'm gonna cook tomato soup and grilled cheese. I had like a random urge on Thursday, haven't cooked in years, mind you, and I was like, I'm gonna host two people, I'm gonna cook some tomato soup and grilled cheese, it's gonna be great. And so I told Colby, if your plan ends up not panning through, you don't go, like you can join as well. And we come to the Thursday, I'm making this grilled cheese and tomato soup situation.
Here's the thing about being a great gift giver. When you find something truly perfect for everyone on your list, you almost don't want to give it away. That's what happened with my Quince order. Everything's so soft and well-made, I'm seriously tempted to keep it all for myself.
Colby and I were literally just walking to Katie's apartment this morning and talking about how we needed a wool coat. And the first thing that I saw at the top of Quince's website was the Italian wool coat. They're absolutely at the top of my list right now. They look designer, feel luxurious, and are made with premium materials. But like everything at Quince, the price won't make you panic. We're talking way less than what other brands charge.
There are also so many options I can see myself giving a friend or one of my family members, like a scarf or sweater. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them with Quince. Go to quince.com/matchmade for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/matchmade to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/matchmade.
You guys know I have been on the go lately. I've been traveling all over the world for work. And when you're on multiple time zones and not sleeping that much, it's hard to make sure that you're focused, productive, and efficient at all hours of the day. The solution that I found recently is Everyday Dose. Everyday Dose combines the delicious coffee you know and love with nootropics and lion's mane that helps with focus and mood improvement.
Everyday Dose is coffee plus benefits. They combine high quality coffee with powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost focus, and give you clean, sustained energy all day long. It tastes just like coffee without the downside. No crash, no jitters, just clean, sustained energy.
And right now for Black Friday, get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/matchmade or use code matchmade at checkout.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
It wasn't bad, but it was like kind of a disaster. Like I never want to cook again after that.
How did you fuck up tomato soup and grilled cheese? I'm just wondering.
Well, first of all, as, no I'm, offense. As I'm cooking I'm the tomato wondering. Soup, Colby's like entertaining my guests. And I'm like... Colby's entertaining my guests and I'm rummaging around the kitchen.
Did you make tomato soup from a can?
No,
he didn't.
I made it homemade.
He had a lot of ingredients.
Okay, no offense, because I was picturing you just pouring something from a can into like a saucepan and you somehow fucked that up.
No,
that's what I was just imagining. And I'm like, Adam, seriously, where'd you go wrong?
No, guys, actually, I really can cook. I hate cooking. I really hate it.
So you got like bought tomatoes. You were like juicing the tomatoes. What were you doing?
Well, the cans. Yeah. I got the
canned tomatoes. Okay, yeah. Great.
I got the canned peeled tomatoes. I did like two onions.
Okay.
Like one sweet, one white. Like I did like a whole situation.
All right, no shade.
Some basil. Like I did the whole shebang. All right, I was making homemade tomato soup.
Yeah.
And as I'm cooking it, Colby's entertaining my guests, as I described, and I start rummaging around the kitchen, and obviously the tomatoes are whole, as is the onion, in this pot. Well, actually, I minced the onion, of course, so that was cut up a little bit.
Yeah.
But like nobody wants to eat soup that's just minced onion and whole tomatoes, right? You need to pulverize it. And so in my old apartment, the only ever like thing I would cook basically is tomato soup. Like that's basically the only thing that I would cook in my old apartment. And I'm looking around for my pulverizer. And it's nowhere to be found. And so while Colby's entertaining my guests, in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to my phone and Uber Eats us food. Like, I can't pulverize the soup.
Do you have a blender?
No.
You can't really blend soup like that, because if you blend something that's that hot of a liquid without a very specific blender, and I don't think we have like...
We don't have a blender in general.
We don't even have a blender, first of all.
I've used my Ninja, or what's it called? My Magic Bullet.
Do you
have
a Vitamix?
Magic Bullet. Wow.
Okay.
And you can puree in that.
Okay. I think it's like when the soup is so hot, though, I think that it causes issues.
I believe you.
But does that, I mean, have you done that before, though? Like pulverize really, really hot ingredients? Yeah,
but to put in my crock.
Oh, okay.
Like sometimes the recipe will call for that and they say you can use that.
Oh, okay. I think there's something, I could be completely making this up, where if you put really hot liquid like soup and ingredients, like what I had basically, like
this. What happens to it? Explodes.
I think it explodes. Or it could explode.
Goodness. Okay, never mind.
Especially
I don't recommend.
If like the cap is covering it, because I think all of the pressure and the heat and the steam, like all, you know, hanging out.
You probably have to let it cool for a second.
Yeah, so I think you have to let it cool for a second. So, anyways.
Okay, Bill Nye.
You know, I'm doing some chemistry in the kitchen.
Okay, so you were struggling in the kitchen.
Rummaging around, and I literally cannot find this pulverizer. And in my head, I'm like, literally, fuck my life. Like, I'm going to have to order Uber Eats. And this entire time, everybody had been making fun of me. Not Colby, but like the two. Well, Colby also, of course.
I was giving you credit.
Yeah, Colby was entertaining your guests.
She actually was very impressed that I bought so many ingredients. The one thing I will say about cooking, what the hell? It's so expensive.
Yeah. Like, sometimes it's more expensive than just ordering Uber Eats, but
100%.
There's so many benefits, because number one, you know exactly what's going into your food. You don't have to worry about like added ingredients or like whatever extra butter people are putting in stuff.
Yeah. That's
and true. Number two, it's the satisfaction of being like, I did that. Like, it's so exciting to eat something that you've worked hard on. It, like, tastes better, I swear, because it's, like, the effort that went in. And the delayed gratification.
Yeah, that's
there's fair. So many benefits. And it's soothing. Chopping, like, so soothing.
This was not soothing for
smells
Adam.
Smells so nice in the kitchen.
I was not soothed. I was honestly miserable. I was no. like, because I hate cooking. Like, I have no patience for cooking. It's so, oh my God, like it takes forever and it's so expensive. I like the things involved in cooking. Like I love running an errand. So like I'll go to the grocery store. Like for example, like Colby was cooking us lasagna soup last weekend. She's the one who did the grocery shop, but like we didn't have a can opener.
Yeah.
And so I like start trying to pry open the can with a spoon and like I like doing that. And then I was like, oh, like, fuck, I need to go like get us a can opener. Like I love running out and doing an errand. You know, like,
so you like being like a sous chef.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Everyone needs a sous chef.
I think also soup is a hard thing is one thing that like it has to simmer for a long time. Like that does take a very long time. And it is so many ingredients that you don't just have.
Yeah.
And so then the soup ends up costing $80 when you could have bought it for $15.
Yeah, because also like spices, like they're expensive sometimes to buy initially and then you just have it forever. Like you know, like when you do like an initial spice run where you're like buying your turmeric and all your stuff and it ends up being like $60 for all these little vials of spices, but then you have them.
But I will say when Colby made lasagna soup, I think you bought like a lot of basil, right?
Yeah.
Did you see it on our counter?
No.
I saw it this morning. Molded over.
Oh no. Oh, yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, it happens. It like goes back. Like
it and goes that's what I'm so saying. Fast.
Why I hate buying groceries and I hate cooking.
Yeah, it's definitely it's tough, but that's why I like my slow cooker because I'll make like a big port like this week. I'm making chili. And that'll last me all week, and it's actually like really easy to do. Like chili, you should try chili next. It's very easy, and it involves a lot of can openers.
I honestly will say I don't
like chili.
Put me over the edge. I think I'm done forever.
You just saying that, I literally haven't even been in our kitchen aside from to refill my water bottle this morning since you made the tomato soup.
Guys, that was enough for me. So, but anyways, finishing off the story.
Did it taste good?
Luckily, Colby knew where the pulverizer was because Colby is in charge in that house. And so the pulverizer was found. We made the soup. The soup actually did taste good.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah. The grilled cheese was good. Like, you know, it was a good meal.
It looked gorgeous in your story. Yeah. That's why I'm so surprised there was all this drama involved. There was like
some background.
I thought it looked like a gorgeous meal. Well,
thank God Colby also
Adam realized that my plan was to cook dinner mid cooking his dinner.
Sorry, I had many parallel stories happening during that. Basically, Colby gets home.
You thought Colby was going out to dinner, but really she wanted to cook with you.
No, she wanted to cook with her friend. And so I basically
Adam had agreed to that portion of the night.
Yeah, I had agreed to cook dinner with her friend, but then in my head I built up that she was going out to dinner with her friend, and so I was like, oh, you don't end up going out to dinner with your friend. I'm gonna host two people and cook at the apartment. And she never said anything the entire week. And then we're standing around the island in the kitchen and I'm like, oh yeah, Colby like had other plans or something. Or no, you said you were gonna cook in the apartment. And you said that to our friend who was in the apartment.
Or I was like, we just rescheduled, and then you put the pieces together, but it was fine.
And then I put the pieces together. I'm standing there in silence.
It was
like,
better for me anyway. I had to pack.
Like, oh my God! Wait, Colby was definitely going to host her friend to the apartment, and we were supposed to cook, and I completely hijacked her plan.
No, but it actually is totally fine because I had to pack regardless, and I worked until 7. I was at the office until 7 o'clock.
Right.
So
anyways, I hosted my first dinner party in the apartment. Went great. Will I ever cook again? Probably not.
It was a one and done.
It was a one and done. Although I will say last night I have leftovers, and so I cooked another grilled cheese last night. And
how exciting.
I literally almost burned the apartment down.
Oh my God. Adam, throw in the towel.
When I was cooking, we were eating at the table, and Colby was like, do you need to still have the stove on? Every burner.
Oh, yeah.
Full high.
Wait, every burner? Why every burner?
I don't know. I wanted to use a couple.
I've never had every burner on.
I did.
Yeah.
And Colby is like, you're an idiot.
Well, no, I just saw the light on and I was like, wait, is that because I didn't know if it was still simmering or something.
There weren't even pots on it.
Cooking is not for you. So wait, does
now you know.
Does John cook?
I don't think so.
Shit, you guys are
It's okay. You have the phone number.
He likes going out to eat though, and we have the phone number, so nothing
just
else matters.
Minetta.
Yeah, nothing else matters now that we have the phone number.
Let Minetta do the cooking for you.
I don't know. I wanna like leverage this for like all the major food group restaurants, honestly. Not that they're all like amazing, but they're a vibe, you know, if anything.
What are some other ones?
Carbone, Balthazar. What's Cipriani, I think, is major food group? Is it not?
I don't think it's major food group. I think it's a different, because Balthazar, I don't think, is under major. Major's like Terizzi, Carbone, Sedels.
Hold on.
I want to go to Balthazar and get dinner. I've never.
I think Minetta's under the group that's like Da Toscano.
I'm pretty sure Balthazar is under the thing though.
Yeah, it might be.
Balthazar is cool. Did you know if you go and you sit at the bar?
Oh wait, I totally made up the guy's name too. It's not Keith or Boys, it's Keith McNally.
Oh, I follow him on Instagram. Oh my God, I follow that guy on Instagram. He posts really cool stuff on his Instagram about owning Balthazar. But if you go to Balthazar and you sit alone at the bar, they'll bring you a glass of champagne on the house.
Oh really? Like
if you go there alone, they bring you a glass of champagne.
Wait, okay, hold on.
Which is really cute.
I'm on the cusp of figuring this out, but Colby, you're right. I don't think it's a major food group. I'm literally spewing so many lies on this podcast today.
That's quite all right.
I am making up so many stories.
But here's the thing. Like,
Pastis, Mirandi, Minetta Tavern.
I would never know.
And Balthazar.
Oh, and the Odeon.
I love the Odeon.
Who would have thought?
I'm like, Deodion.
No.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so we have some good ones. Wait, fuck. For some reason, I thought it was Major Food Group. But I mean, this is better. Oh, does he also own Rawls?
You still can't say it.
Rawls.
Rawls.
Remember, like, I remember you mentioning that on a podcast in podcast past, and you just couldn't say it.
In podcast past.
Rawls?
Yeah, I have problems. I have problems, guys. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so here's the thing. You don't even need to cook if you have all these plugs at these restaurants. Like,
who needs to cook when you live in New York City? You know, like, we have so many restaurants here.
Yeah, but I don't know. I do find cooking to be soothing. I did not feel that way in the beginning of my journey, but now that I, like, know what I'm doing to an extent, I feel good about it, and it's fun. I definitely don't cook, like, every meal I eat, obviously, mm-hmm. because that would be a waste when you live in the city. Like,
yeah,
you know, you should go and experience the cuisine. I always like to think I'm, like, you know, I'm contributing. Like, these restaurants, a lot of them are barely even breaking even. I'm contributing to their what's the
their
word?
Profits.
To their profits. Yeah. That's what I tell myself.
I like to cook more so because takeout isn't for me.
How so?
Like, there are only specific, very specific things that I still think taste good as takeout.
That is true. A lot of things that are, like, vegetable heavy or, like, greens, like salad type of yeah. things, don't hit as hard when you get it delivered.
And sometimes it's like, if I'm ordering something specific that I am in the mood for,
yeah,
from a restaurant that I like, I'm expecting it to taste, like, I know a lot of people like 12 Chairs as takeout, and I love 12 Chairs. I hate eating that as takeout, and it always costs like $50, and then you have so much food left over, doesn't taste as good the next day, that's for sure. And, like, by the time it gets to you, it's, like, soggy and not good.
I feel like you can only do takeout from fast casual places. Like, you yeah. can't do them from popular restaurants.
Yeah.
You know?
If I'm ordering takeout, it's either Thai or something that's meant to be eaten in that way, like yeah. from a counter.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel that way as well. That's, like, what I tend to order as well. Like, things like...
Like, fast casual things. Yeah. yeah.
Things that, like, you know, worst case, I'll nuke it a little bit in the microwave if it's, like, nuts, but it'll still taste just as good.
I will say one thing I've been eating literally nonstop is Chick-fil-A. I've been going to Chick-fil-A. I'm not even kidding, like, 4 times a week.
I love Chick-fil-A.
It's so good.
Can't get it on Sunday, though.
Every Sunday is when I want it the most.
I know.
Yesterday, I was, like, desperate for a chicken tender, and now, no luck. No dice.
You can try... Raising Cane's.
There's so many other chicken tenders
in the
city.
You can try Sears.
It's not the same, guys. All right, should we answer a question? I think.
Yes. Well,
does anybody else have anything to share? I kind of
Colby,
monopolized.
How was your weekend in Boston?
It was so fun. It was very chaotic. And then I also got back yesterday, and one of my best friends from home was in town, so I went to go meet up with him and this other guy from home. So I literally walked in, brought my suitcase upstairs, like, ran inside, like, made myself look not like I hadn't slept all weekend, and ran out the door.
Where'd you go for that?
We went to Galway Hooker, and then we went to Due West, and then we went to Blue Haven, and then we went to Old Mates, and then we went to my friend's apartment in Bold.
Colby literally had the biggest Sunday fun day ever.
Holy crap, Colby.
Yeah.
That's a marathon.
Yeah. But honestly, it sounds a lot more like a marathon than it was. I think we were at each bar for like 30 minutes.
That's honestly kind of a lot. I thought you were about to say like 5 minutes. Like,
that's
a
crawl. Colby, that's a crawl.
I know.
You went on a crawl yesterday.
Yeah.
And then Colby crushed it bowling, right, Colby?
I was terrible at bowling the first time. The score was like 100 something to literally, I think my score got to 32 the first round, and there were like 10 tries. But then the second round, I really took everybody by surprise, and I got like 2 strikes in a row.
Wow.
And it was really crazy. And I think I won the second time.
Colby!
Yeah, no, it was really shocking.
Sneak attack.
Yeah, and then I left right after my double strike. I was like, I have to go to bed.
Yeah, you can't
but
continue after that.
It was great to see you guys.
That's a mic drop moment.
Yeah.
They were jaws on the floor.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe their eyes.
They actually were, but they literally were like, no way. It was insane. The crowd really went wild.
I would have definitely gone wild if I saw you do two strikes in a row.
I wish I was there.
It was really exciting.
Should we do our first match made like event for the public at a bowling alley?
I love bowling.
Would you guys bowl? Listeners, write in.
I for sure would bowl with listeners.
Let us know. Okay. Should we answer a question?
Yeah, let's do it.
This one's kind of... God, sorry. Now I have the frog. The frog just goes from one to another. This one is honestly unlike any question we've ever had.
Oh.
So the subject line is my new friend crossing the copying line? Help.
Mm.
Hi, girls and Adam. Huge fan of the pod. I listen every week and always debrief over FaceTime with my best friend. You guys are my comfort voices, so I thought I'd bring this to you. I'm 26 and recently moved to San Diego. I made a new friend, let's call her Sammy, and we clicked instantly. She quickly became one of my closest friends here. In the beginning, I noticed that whenever I bought something, she'd ask where it was from. I thought, totally normal, I'm a shopaholic, so I didn't think much of it. But over time, it's become a lot. She doesn't just ask, she buys everything immediately. I'm not exaggerating when I say it's been 10 plus items, clothes, home decor, random things, you name it. A couple of examples. Number one, we were at our local farmer's market and she came up to me very excited saying, look, I got the exact same art that you bought a few weeks ago. I awkwardly laughed and said, OMG, but inside I felt weird. Another example, we went shopping in a beach town at an antique store. I found this adorable vintage crystal lamp, literally one of a kind, and showed it to her. She immediately said, I need that too. She even asked for the store owner's seller info. She gave them her phone number and asked them to call her if they ever got another identical lamp so she could buy it over the phone. I was physically uncomfortable and honestly stunned that she was making this such a big deal. It's starting to really irritate me and make me self-conscious. I know imitation is a form of flattery, but this feels off. I'd like your advice on whether this has crossed into weird territory and what you would do in my position, or if I'm just being a narcissist. I'm also on my influencer journey, and this is affecting me creatively. I've held back from posting certain things because I know she'll immediately go buy them. I've been wanting to start a TikTok series of things I'm loving but not buying yet, but I know she will go purchase every single item, which feels frustrating, especially when I'm trying to be financially responsible and she's just instantly pulling the trigger. Last note, sorry for the length, I'm a total Pinterest fashion girly and love curating unique home decor. She doesn't use Pinterest and never goes vintage or antique shopping, so I can't tell if she genuinely doesn't have her own inspiration sources or if she's literally just trying to be me. Would love any advice or insight into how to navigate this dynamic, set boundaries, or understand what might be going on. Thank you, love you, bye. Happy holidays.
Aw. I mean, if she wants to be on her influencer journey, like soon enough, a lot of people are going to be copying her. You know?
Yeah, point. But this is someone close to home.
The first thing I thought is, like, I was like, I wonder if this is her best friend that she debriefs on the podcast with every week. And we're going to talk about it. No, and they're going to debrief about each other.
This is her way of being like, so here's my problems. Like, let me have Match Made read my grievances to you on air. No, I understand like where she's coming from being like, because it's a new friend, first of all.
Yeah.
New friend. And it kind of crosses into the territory of like, oh, she wants to skin me and wear my skin. You know what I mean? Have you ever heard that saying?
Yeah. No, I've never heard that saying.
Skin me alive and wear my skin and wear it around or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're talking about, that, yes.
Like, she wants to be me.
Right, right.
Not in like a morbid way.
Right. But,
and it's also just frustrating because she's saying that she puts so much effort and thought into curating all of these things that she's excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the girl, especially if she's a new friend and knows that you do this, she's like maybe thinking that it's flattering to you. I'm curious if she has a sister, because I feel like growing up when I would get so mad at my sisters for doing things, or they would get mad at me for copying them, my parents just always really instilled in us that imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Yeah, which is what she said. But I feel like with this, you just have to gatekeep a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, like, mm-hmm. if this is uncomfortable to you, which it seems like it is, because if she's an amazing, loyal, great friend otherwise. Like, it'd be a shame to throw away a whole friendship over this one little thing that's like annoying you.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a way that you can like playfully be like, let her know that she's doing something that's bothering you.
Yeah, she might not even notice that she's copying you. She might just like admire your taste. And so when you point things out, be like, oh yeah, I really like that too. Maybe you should buy it because you like it.
You should start. No, this is like not a good idea, but you should start buying everything that she buys. Or like, just do, like you see her wear something and be like, look, I got the same one. Just see how she reacts. No, I don't know.
Some people like that though.
I think she'd be like, so flattered. You're so
I
right.
agree.
She, yeah. I mean, at the core of this, like, it is really, it's really sweet. If she has purely good intentions,
yeah,
and isn't trying to like, you know, be you, like in the sense
of
like,
part is like, if you are inspired so much by what other people are doing and you're buying all the things that they are, like, clearly they admire you. So it doesn't really seem like, I don't even know how that would be malicious in any scenario, right?
Yeah.
You should start giving her affiliate links.
Or
so then you can get some kickback from this.
You actually should.
You should start a ShopMy if you don't already have one and start listing all this stuff on ShopMy. So at least you'll get affiliate. You'll get some payout. Yeah,
you'll get some commission.
Get some commission from her shopping.
You also can steer her to like start her own Pinterest search, because she said that she isn't sure if she doesn't have her own sources of inspiration. So yeah, you could be like, oh, I find a lot of stuff that I'm looking at now, the inspiration for on Pinterest, like, maybe you should start looking at that.
You should teach her to like how she can get her own inspiration sources. Oh, or you could also like, if she's someone who's online, you could like send her, I mean, I do this all the time with just with my friends, like sending people pages that I find that I'm like, oh, this is so you, like this person's aesthetic and style and out. There's so many pages now that have like purely just outfit ideas. Mm-hmm. And you could start sending her people that you find that you're like, oh, so then she could latch on to a new host, to a new like person, you know, like, oh, I really love this girl, like Anastasia, whatever. I follow this girl on Instagram that I think has great taste. And, you know, maybe she could follow that girl and then be wanting to
buy all the things. More influencers to follow.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, in the influencer space, like, you're right, like, copying is the name of the game, so to speak, in terms of like shopping habits. Like, you as an influencer, we want people to click our links and buy the things that we're wearing, and like, it doesn't feel like you're crossing a line. But when it's a personal relationship where you feel that way,
what would you do if you walked into Colby and I's apartment and it was copy pasters? Like, there was a "Don't Give Up the Ship" on the wall. There was the same cutting boards. We redid Colby's bedroom to literally be exactly like your office space.
Like, honestly, here's the thing, and maybe it's just because it hasn't happened, but I think of that and I'd be like, oh, I'm so flattered you guys would, because I really respect like your taste. So if you had "Don't Give Up the Ship" like flag in your apartment, I'd be like, oh my God, I rubbed off on them. How exciting. Yes.
My taste currently is literally nothing. I have a bajillion mirrors in my bedroom.
No, that's not nothing.
None of them
that's
are
your taste.
They're all ones that I've stolen from people, aka Danielle, aka you, actually. Oh, no, Colby has one of them. The circular mirror.
Yeah.
Well,
I've donated
actually, to your... Actually, where is you, too?
I've donated to your shrine.
Literally, I have four mirrors in my room. Two of them are from Danielle, one's from you, and then one's from you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you collect...
I collect mirrors, and none of them are mounted. They're all just everywhere.
You still have time for that.
Yeah. I still need to finish my room as well. I need to be there enough to finish it. Finish it off.
Yeah, I haven't been there enough to finish mine. Or even start.
Yeah.
There's a bed.
Yeah.
And a dresser.
I'm trying to think if we've helped this girl.
What was our overarching advice?
Her question is my new friend crossing the copying line?
I mean, the one example where they were in the store when she was like, please let me know if you ever, like, please let me know if anybody ever brings this lamb back into the store. Like, that's a little.
Well, we were at our local farmer's market and she came up to me very excited saying, look, I got the exact same art you bought a few weeks ago.
I think that she thinks that you would be flattered.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's seeking validation and like trying to be close to you and thinks that this is a way to do it.
Yeah, maybe... I would take a look at like who her other friendships are as well. Like maybe she's just like, because you're her newest friend, maybe she does this and like this is normal for her.
Yeah.
I mean, I would.
Some people just are copycats.
Yeah. Like my heart kind of like hurts for the girl that's doing the copying.
Yeah.
Because I know that she's like desperate for validation.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it hurts to like know that she's going to this like far of a length
yeah.
to get your approval. But I also see, like, I truly do see both sides in this situation. Yeah. Like, I see the girl that wrote in, like, how it could be, like, make you feel self-conscious, make you feel like you're just being watched, you know? Yeah. Like, right. Which it's kind of, that could feel uncomfortable. But I don't think you're being a narcissist in noticing these
traits.
These traits. If yeah. anything, it's like, yeah, you're just, you're very aware of the people you spend time with, like, and that's, you know, that's how you have to be in this day and age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope we gave you like maybe some advice. I feel like you just need to be a bit more like private with your purchases if that's something that bothers you. But seeing as though you want to delve into the influencer space, I don't think that's possible.
Correct.
So I unfortunately think you just kind of have to make peace with this. And yeah. I bet she will move on to another source of inspiration.
Yeah, let her copy you for a little bit. She'll find somebody else.
Yeah, I feel like you're just her like flavor of the week.
Yeah.
And she'll move on, hopefully.
How funny would it be, though, if she was using, if this was actually the best friend that she referenced, and she was using
us as a mouthpiece. As a
way to tell her friend.
To tell her friend that, hey, cut it out.
Hey, cut it out, girl.
Hey, cut it out. Stop copying me.
That'd be so funny. Oh, my God.
Well, anyway, hopefully we gave you some great advice, and happy holidays to you, too.
Hey, girl.
Oh my God, I cannot believe it's the holidays.
That being said, we just need to let you guys know we are not posting an episode next week because we are going to be hopped up on turkey and
can't wait.
Can't come to the phone right now.
Black Friday sales.
And Black Friday sales. If anyone knows of any good Black Friday sales, my DMs are open.
Sam.
Yeah, Black Friday, I have seen murmurs, is not going to be as big of a deal this year.
Well, Cyber Monday is always the better option, in my opinion.
No, like in general, brands like aren't able to offer as big of discounts
because of tariffs.
Yeah.
Oh, sad.
I know. And like I saw that, but then I also realized like Aloe started their early Black Friday in October.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, people stop that?
It just so, it takes away yeah. the fun.
It well, completely
and
does.
And I never play the game, right? Because I either see the early sale and I'm like, I might as well buy what I want now while it's still in stock
mm-hmm.
and think that the deal isn't going to get that much better. But then it will end up going up a lot. Or the things that I want are sold out. So.
Yeah, fair.
It's hard.
Well, guys, that's all we have time for.
That's it.
It's been fun. Love ya. See ya.
Bye. Bye. My stomach conveniently is no longer making noises now that we're over.
I wanted it to like harmonize with us, you know?
No, I'm all out.
Katie's all tuckered out.